Hey, hey, my dear lads and lassies, welcome back to the Vagabond Dilemma. It is me, E, and Henry, your dear hosts, and today we're gonna talk about gorillas, we're gonna talk about Nicaragua, and we're gonna talk about building a fort and almost 700 people dying. Enjoy!
Talk.
Hello, everybody. Hey, welcome to another episode of the Vagabond Dilemma, featuring me and Rudy. Say something, Rudy.
Oh, okay. Because today we're going to be super quick, because Henry was like, before we started podcasting, he was like, I want to get this over as quick as possible. Things to do, shit to run to, world is turning, I am standing, what's happening?
Definitely overdoing it. I just want to record, Rudy. That's all. Let's get it done.
Well, I, as a people's pleaser, you happen to fall into the category still of people's. So, as you wish, King, your wish is my command.
Good.
So for this next episode, everything you ask of me, I'll consider doing it.
You consider it?
Yes.
Because you're considerate.
Yes. For this episode, I'll take the rude out of Rudy.
And we'll just be left with E. Well, E, how was your week?
In the intro of the episode... Wait, it's my intro, right?
Yeah, it's your intro.
I'll name myself E, so people have no idea what the fuck is going on.
Welcome to the Vagabond Dilemma featuring me, E.
And Henry. I am doing rather good. Taking a chill pill today.
That's nice.
Been working hard before the exams. Next week is the exam week at our university. Everybody loves it. Everybody adores it. You always see people smiling. People always hanging out in the library. You know, exams just bring people together.
It's a time of happiness.
Yeah, exactly. Especially when Easter comes around and you have exams in Easter, right? But that, I kind of already can feel the hate coming towards me, like indirectly for saying this out loud.
It's a time of joy. What do you mean?
Well, it is a resurrection of sorts. Because Easter is all about Christ coming back into town, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, and then... I feel like for at least our university students is also a third resurrection of your annual quarter depression and anxiety.
This resurrects your depression?
Yes.
That's what you're saying? Nice. Okay.
It is a weird mix to feel anxious or depressed and yet you can't wait for it to happen so it can be over at the same time.
Well, I mean, I think that's pretty normal. It's just like me in this podcast. Am I right? Hey!
God damn!
No, it's fine. I just, today I'm just a little bit of a low-energy Henry, so I just want to relax, that's all. Not to bring down this episode too much. I love y'all. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, so Henry, when we started doing this, he signed a contract with me in blood, so he actually is bound to me for the next year. Well, not this one. When did we hit a year? In September, right?
September.
So for the next 4 to 5 months, bound by blood still. Literally, boy perishes in ashes if he forgets to do an episode or doesn't want. So
okay, it's kind of crazy, actually, that we're like... almost at 3/4 of a year. I don't know.
Are we?
I mean, if there's only 5 months left.
God damn.
We're closing in on 3/4-ish.
Would be a half, no?
We're past half.
Yes. Oh, closing in, you said. Oh, I see. Yes. Oh my god, you're actually right. I feel so old now. Thank you. Shall we move into the episode?
No. Let's sit in this forever.
Well, I've been sitting on a lot of things forever, and frankly, some things, when you sit on them forever, they do fix themselves.
So what's the moral here? Don't do anything.
Exactly. Take it from Rudy.
All right. I love that. All right. Let's get into the epi. So today we're talking about Diego de Nicoesca.
Ooh, what a name. I really like this name. Diego what?
Diego de Nicoesca. Sorry, I mispronounced it the first time. Diego de Nicoesca.
Nicoesca. Wowee.
Born in, really?
What is
1464. Exactly right.
I thought that much. Thanks God I didn't make a fool of myself. I thought you meant the location. I was going to say like a location.
You can guess that as well.
Spain.
Correct.
So smart.
So, as probably obvious from his birth date, Diego was an explorer who was active right as exploration was about to pop off, right?
The party.
So, born in 1464, Columbus made his way to Americas in 1492. So, you know, he's basically right at the start of the great era of exploration.
Yeah. Cashing in on the big G's.
Yeah. So, Columbus made his way to America in 1492 and did so several more times until 1504. And Diego did some follow-up explorations, essentially. So, let's get into that.
Well,
so,
let's.
Very little personal details are known about him. Although I did read a couple times that he's a prick.
Oh, so he's a fuckboy, actually, because it's in the name.
Maybe?
I mean, Diego, whatever, I already forgot the last name.
De Nicoesca.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, he probably knows how to have a good time on a Friday night, you know what I mean?
Right. That's a stripper name is what you're saying.
Well, he has his toys on the sea and his boys on the land.
Goes by Joao Herbert and Diego de Nicoesca at night.
Yes, exactly, honestly. I, by the way, love that since this podcast started, I actually started within the podcast, within the cinematic universe of ours.
Uh-huh.
Because it was a joke I told like half a year ago that I, at this point in this day and age, would just assume a man is not straight until I'm proven otherwise. And I fully, since then, have employed that within this podcast. Every time you say a man's name, I'm like, a fuckboy. A raging homosexual is who I picture.
Sure. I mean, I didn't really say anything about that. It said, I read a couple different pages because there was not a ton of info on him. But it said that he was like a real big bitch, basically. Like a real arrogant prick. So, like, I don't know how much of it is true, so I didn't really include it in the story, but I just figured, like, we can say it up top. This is not the nicest fella, basically.
Well, I guess it depends on the perspective. Some people say I'm not the nicest fella, and yet I think I am gorgeous, soft, and, well, truthfully speaking, quite a humble man.
Very humble, if I do say so myself. But I think by the end of the explanation I'm about to give, I think you might have to change your mind, because there was a little detail that does make him seem like a bit of a dick.
And I know what's gonna happen right now, but I'm gonna say it anyways. Try me, bitch.
Alright. This, you know what, I'll keep this comment for later. Alright. Anyway. So we'll just talk about the voyages instead of like what he is about, right? So when Columbus returned from one of his voyages in 1504, he noted that he found an area with a lot of gold in what is nowadays Veraguas, which is a province in Panama. So, it's not really, like, the locations are not that important. Like, it's just the general location that you have to care about, right? Mm-hmm. So, near Panama. But it was just left, like, it was just left alone for the time being. And then a couple years later, the Spanish were busy in a war. Whoopsie. It's the medieval period. We're fighting.
With rats. And the plague.
And what do you need for a war, Rudy?
Steel.
Money. Good point. Well done, Rudy. Money. And where do you find money, Rudy?
In land.
In gold, I guess. That didn't really make a lot of sense, but you get it.
No, but that's exactly what I meant, in land, because gold doesn't just float in air, it's in land, is it not?
Well, yeah.
There you go.
I don't know. I've heard it's in rivers as well sometimes. Anyway. So basically, the king was like, let me get some of that Panama gold, bitch. And so he was, like, considering colonizing the area, essentially, for lack of a better term.
Okay, I see where this is going. Those Spanish boys at it again.
Diego, in his first expedition in 1506, he went to Panama, but he went into the, like, on land, of course, into the jungle, and he kind of struggled. Like, he was struggling, for lack of a better term. He really was. And because of the disease and guerrilla warfare, he was losing a lot of his crew, so he had to give up halfway and went back to Spain. So, a real winner of a first expedition.
Truly, truly.
And then in 1508, the king granted governing rights to some areas in North America. Keep in mind, at this point, they had already made some colonies in, like, Jamaica and the Dominican Republic, you know. So the king granted governing rights to some areas in North America. And Diego was one of the people chosen to govern an area. And he was given control over modern-day Costa Rica and Nicaragua.
Okay.
And there was also other people around him. And he was not always the best of friends with everybody, let's put it that way. But essentially, right, he now has his own area that he gets to govern, right? So, what do you do when you get an area that you have to govern, Rudy?
Well, okay, is this an honest question what I would do, or is this a question of what they actually did there?
It was the latter, but let's go for the former.
What I would do? Honestly? I wouldn't want a huge complex that would actually...
That's not the question, fucker. Yeah, you have a huge complex, what are you gonna do?
Sell most of it.
You're gonna sell it?
No, actually, I'm gonna donate it to some kind of nature reserve fund, probably.
Right.
Because you know what? I grew up with both of my grandparent families having, like, let's say, large areas to quote-unquote govern on, right? As in, right. Like, they have private houses, and then they have, you know, we had crop fields and whatnot, that kind of stuff. It's a lot of work to upkeep all of that. There's always shit to do. You can never catch a break. It's like a household, right? Like, it's not necessarily I didn't have a farm, but with farms, it's even worse. It's your whole life basically goes into that, and I wouldn't want that. So
you're basically, but you're pretending like you have to go into the jungle with, like, one pair of scissors and trim all the plants. I don't think it was that big of a deal at that.
Friends group, I would have a small community, but the rest is, like, the jungle animals needed. Amazon is dying, so here. And this is my land, so I'll protect you. You can't trim this down, so let the animals live in. Oh, red panda! I could have a red panda as animal! Oh my god! I'm the biggest fan of red pandas, and I would want a red panda in that.
Don't red pandas live in Asia?
Ah, they just need a big forest, that's it.
So you're gonna bring them in as an invasive species?
Listen, Pablo Escobar brought his infamous hippos to South America, where they thrive, this small community, and now they're actually getting, I think, rescued back to Africa.
Yeah, they thrive, but that's an invasive species. I'm not saying they're about to get dunked on. I'm saying they might be dunking on the
humans
ecosystem.
Humans are an invasive species too, and look where we are.
Yeah, it sucks. That's what I'm saying, Rudy. And you're trying to contribute.
I would raise my red panda very well. He would be friends with everybody. I would also have a bear and a panther named Baloo and Bagheera, obviously.
You sound like the people that brought frogs to Australia before they destroyed the entire fucking country.
If you bring only one specimen of the species, you can't replicate themselves, so...
You're gonna bring
unless
one.
A bear fucks red panda, then when does that, like, what happens after that? Chupacabra, that's how they get born.
Red bear.
Okay, so what did Diego do with this thing?
He built a fort.
Oh, what?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, a colony. He built a fort, Rudy. He established himself. But... He was struggling a lot. with disease and the jungle and the natives. So of the 700 people that came along, almost all of them fucking died.
Oh my god, almost all 700?
Yes, there was only a small group that survived in their little shitty fort. And in the end, they were saved by someone on a supply run from Jamaica. So, you know, that's... yeah, it was tough. So, before we go to, like, the last mission, you want to do Rudy's Rocks first?
Oh, Rudy's Rocks!
All right, boom, back at you with another. Say it with me now. Rudy's Rocks! Rudy's Rocks! On today's episode, I decided, let's keep the rock segments going, huh?
Okay.
And so I picked a nice little rock that is relevant to our journey. Now, I've mentioned to you this before the episode, Rudy, but we have three pictures, so please be a little bit patient. You have 10 seconds to fill right now as I send you the pictures.
Okay, I'm not looking. I am looking at my drying underwear as we speak. I should buy some new pairs. Some sexy ones. Maybe I should buy a thong. Or a jockstrap.
Is that the one where your ass is out?
Yes. But it's honestly, I've been told that in summer, it's a lifesaver.
Really? That does not seem pleasant to me at all.
Well, you know, you sweat in all places. Especially in some places.
Yeah, but then you sweat onto your, like, shorts instead of your undies.
Good point,
actually. All right, let's just end this conversation and continue with the rocks. So, I just sent Rudy three pictures of the same rock, mind you. A quick explanation about the segment. I sent Rudy a picture of a rock, sometimes a different object, but in this case a rock. He will describe it to you, and then we will both give it a name. If you want to see the rock, feel free to send us an email or contact us in however way you can. And from this episode onwards, I'm also accepting rock pictures sent to me that I might give to Rudy later. I can't guarantee that I will use your rock, but I'll sure as hell consider it.
Okay, can I go?
You can go.
First of all, what a majestic, not a rock, it's a boulder.
It's a boulder?
Yes, because the best I can describe it is, it seems to be at the coast of like some kind of Amazon river delta. However, it's not a rock technically what you would imagine on land. It's actually a rock in the sea, and it's standing there lonesome by himself. And as I said, it looks like a huge boulder, like a giant just yeeted across the Amazon, and it just landed there. And before the giant did that, it kind of chomped off the top of it. But I must say, the third picture, the last one, is so, like, it's so high resolution, and it looks majestic, that picture. To me, at least. It's a rock. Yeah, all right. It's a rock.
You know what I kind of see in the third picture, and this is a bit of a stretch, but I feel like I somewhat see a dinosaur head a little bit.
I love dinosaurs, and I know what you mean. It's like a 3D view of dinosaurs. It's not just a profile, right? It's like kind of sideways looking at you.
Yes.
Yeah. I see that too. I'm gonna give the name to this rock. Okay, I'm ready.
Go ahead.
Rockus Rex.
I like it. I'll go for the humpback rock because
somebody humped this rock.
Not quite what I was aiming at, but the top of the rock where you said the giant chomped off a piece.
All right, somebody humped the top of the rock.
That's also not what I mean. It reminds me a bit of like the rough back of a humpback whale. And given that similarity, I'll give it that name.
Fair enough. Have you ever seen a humpback whale IRL?
I don't remember. I think we went to the locations where you can see that, but I don't remember if we actually did. So, maybe, but it clearly didn't leave an impression on me. No, I mean, they're cool, but I just don't remember. I was kind of young at that point.
I see.
Anyway, let's hop back to our friend. Our best friend, mind you. So, in 1511, he was still in a shitty little fort, like a real loser. And he was informed of another colony within his governing area that was not eating shit and was actually thriving. And what is his reaction to that? Wait a minute, that's not allowed. This is my governing area. Let's chase these fuckers out. So, he was angry. And so, he and his crew abandoned their colony to go to the successful colony to punish them for working within his territory and to take over what they had built. Keep in mind, these are also just other Spanish people.
Yeah, that built and the colony. I was about to say, so you mentioned that most of them died, so what, he and his crew of two people?
Now, I mean, I think there had to have been at least 50 left, something like that.
Okay.
It didn't say exact numbers, but based on the figures I saw later, which I haven't gotten to yet, it seems like there had to have been at least like 50, maybe. Yeah, I think around 50.
Okay. 50 sickish Spaniards.
This is just pure speculation from my part, by the way. This is not like something I found.
Okay.
So, the new colony was aware of their intent. Actually, you know how we found out about the colony? It's because the guy that came for the supply run, he told them there was a different colony. And that got him pissed. So, the colony that they were headed to, they knew of the intent of Diego. And they were like, nah, you're not getting in, bitch. You're staying outside. Sorry. So, he was forced to stay outside. And most of the crew was let in. Except Diego and his most loyal followers. They were basically said, nah, you can't stay. Leave, please. So, they headed out to their ship again, off to Santo Domingo, which is in the modern-day Dominican Republic, where the Spanish had well established themselves at that point. And they were never seen again.
I know exactly what happened here, though.
So, you can see why he's a little bit of a prick, can't you?
Yeah, but I know exactly what happened. And it's, I mean, I'm gonna try and say this in the most nice and politically correct way. But you know how men are pricks.
Sure.
Yes.
I guess.
Yes. And, well, this specific man, he's been eating shit throughout the whole story of yours.
Right.
And I think at this point, you know, I'm just imagining this guy who's, like, super angry at all times, like, smoke coming out of his ears type of red face, like, at least from what you described, it seemed to me that way. And after this shebang, his pride is hurt so much, he just goes onto the ship, sails into the onto the horizon, and actually just fucking sinks the ship because he just had it. Because he can't, his pride can't take it anymore.
Out of embarrassment, he sinks himself?
I mean, men have done more stupid things out of their pride, and this would actually fully not surprise me if this would have been the case.
This gives him the honorable death, though, which is not fitting.
Fair enough, I actually have another theory then.
He ran into a rock and died as a result.
You didn't see this specific boulder.
You know what, I'll mention it at the end. I wanted to say a couple things about the rock still, but I'll say okay. It at the end.
So, because I've been smart now, and as I've noticed, years pass by rather quickly, and my memory is not what it used to be back in the good old days.
You sound like a grandpa.
Yes, exactly. So I, throughout your story, started taking notes.
Okay.
Right. And then you mentioned that at some point he was waging guerrilla warfare. Was he not?
It was said that because of guerrilla warfare, he was struggling. So presumably the natives were really fucking with him.
Yeah, exactly. I presume you don't know the state of his after this warfare.
I mean, it was just he lost a lot of men. But about him specifically, right. It wasn't really
said. Right, yeah, exactly. That's what, because his pride didn't allow, like, whenever somebody wanted to note the specific detail that I'm about to tell you, his pride was once again hurt too much. He was never like, nobody's gonna know about this in history ever. In reality, right. This guerrilla warfare actually left him to be basically a cripple. And that's because, well, in history it's noted out guerrilla warfare, everybody knows what that is. But what you don't know is, in this specific case, the natives were like, fuck Spaniards, because we fucking hate them. These pricks come to our land, and they just try to take everything we have here. So let's deploy the actual guerrillas. So that's why he lost almost all 700 men or whatever. Like, in history, yeah, your story says they died of disease later on or whatnot. No, in reality, they just got shat on in one specific battle where these natives were just like, unleash the beast! And then you just hear it throughout the jungle, hoo, hoo, hoo. And he's fucking fucked up by gorillas. And he built this fort just to, like, survive in it, basically, because gorillas were like, okay, this big, humongous rocks in the middle of the forest, I'm not gonna deal with this, fuck it. Humans don't live that long anyways, he's just gonna die and we're gonna get a free house later on. And, right. And yeah.
As opposed to gorillas' long lifespan,
and because
course.
He had nothing better to do within the fort, he rewrote the whole history. Because, you know, it's been known that white people have been rewriting history in their somewhat better image, but his image was so fucked up that this was the best you could get out of that. Which is already right. A shit story.
He was just writing fanfics in his little dungeon, basically.
Exactly. Because what actually happened is, like, imagine in the middle of the jungle, there's a fort, and, like, people, you're like, you can't, the situation is that for years, you can't get out of the fort. The minute you, like, step onto the wall to, like, look into the jungle, you just see gorillas, like, looking at you, standing there.
I like how you, like, you want it, like, they're just standing there with their arms on their hips, like, don't you come out here, you
cheap. Because what happened,
bitch.
The gorillas relocated, and they made their camp around the fort. So the fort was, like, the center monument of their empire.
Right. They were just waiting, they were begging for them to come out, essentially.
Yes, because, you know, Rome had Colosseum at some point, and that was right. Gladiators and whatnot, and these pricks were like, if we leave them, in, you know, if we leave them in the fort long enough, they're gonna start killing each other. We're gonna bid higher seats around the fort. There's your Colosseum. Just don't let them out.
Honestly, I feel like that's not wrong. If he was like to stay there longer, I feel like he would have killed people. I don't know.
Well, that's exactly what happened. I mean, he wrote the fan fiction, so you don't know how many of those 700 were, like, you know. And then Gorilla saw what Diego is capable of, in the sense of, like, they were like, I mean, we kind of want to see him kill a couple of people, but this man's fucking crazy, brutally murdering everybody, eating their flesh or whatever, because he's a cannibal, apparently. They're like, right. You know what? I kind of don't want our kids to see this, so let's let them out to go to that colony, let them their own species deal with it. And those fucks from the other colony, they were like, yeah, we heard what happened. Nah, sir. The ones who survived you, they, like, emotional trauma for life, they need a therapist, please come in. You, fuck off. We're gonna send you on a ship, and we better not see you come back, otherwise we will shoot you.
I have maybe a different spin on this, in that the gorillas were like, oh fuck, we can't, you know, we gotta get this guy out of here. So they built a fake colony, and they dressed up as Spaniards. So you have to imagine, when they arrive at the gates of this new colony, you just see a gorilla in a conquistador outfit, like, nah, you can't come in, bro, but your crew can. And that way they successfully saved North America.
Dawn
from
of
Diego's
the colony
clutches.
Of apes. and the supply run was actually also dressed gorilla. There was a whole scheme.
Right.
The supply run was actually coming from the neighboring empire of chimpanzees, actually, not gorillas. And it was a dressed chimpanzee, because he was like, yeah, these waters are treacherous. You have to dress like a man, otherwise, you know, they're going to kill your ass. And then he's like, oh my god, I know this dude. Let it, like, you know, let the gorillas deal with him. So he's like, you know, if I tell him where the gorilla colony is, they won't know where ours is. So, like, yeah, dude, there's a colony. It's actually fucking thriving. Go there. But then he's, you know, because all the apes and I, like, they're kind of solidarity. So later on, chimpanzees, right. Like, his consciousness started speaking. He was like, ah, fuck, okay. I'll scream from the ship. And once he's passing the gorilla colony, he's like, yo, there's a dude coming your way. Fucking crazy.
Well. Rudy, I also have a different idea.
Go ahead, King.
So, they arrive at the new colony and they're like, oi, you naughty naughty, this is our colony now. And they're like, nah, bye. So, Diego and his buddies are now left alone in the jungle, right?
Yeah.
They're sent back to their ship, but they say, no. We won't let it end like this. This is still my territory. Let's reestablish ourselves. And we will continue fighting for this fort, essentially, right?
Okay.
For this colony. So, what do? They get into the jungle, you know. Just like before, they struggle. Can't even build a fort. Essentially, they just live in huts at some point, right? Their clothes get all fucked up, their tools break, and they're just left with sticks and huts. And then the new colony comes by and they're like, oh my god, it's new natives that are hanging out here. How are you? And because they sucked so hard, they even forgot how to speak normally. So, essentially, they just get lost in the wilderness, confused for just another Amazon tribe, and they were never able to explain themselves again.
It's like, I just imagine, like, you know, there's a route, I don't know, like the walking path of the Spaniards around the fort. They keep walking and they're like, oh my god, new natives. We should probably chart, you know, in the history that we found a new native tribe and whatever. But we should get to know more, right? Like, how do they call themselves and whatnot? Because, you know, you kind of have to keep track of your neighbors, right? It's just common decency. You know, say hi in the morning, whatnot. So they go. And they're like, how's it hanging, boys? And it was like, you, as you said, completely like mentally disturbed at this point. Like they're just like regressing into apes, basically. It's just like pure, like unimaginable sounds. Like, I'm not gonna replicate it now too. but and they're like, okay, so I guess it's a dialect we just don't know. I mean, they kind of seem more savage than the other natives, but hey, here's an idea. What if the other natives would know who these are, right? Let's go to the ones we know. They go to the ones we know. And they're like, okay, so, you know, on Sundays they probably meet for dinner, so they sit around the table. It's like, so yeah, Roger just told me that this past week they kind of, outside the east side of the fort, we kind of noticed some other your folks. The natives are like, what do you mean? It's like, I don't know. I kind of, like, don't understand. I was going to ask you, like, what's that about? So the natives go out and they're like, okay, brothers. Who are you? We've never seen you in this territory. And then those people are like, you know, like, no imaginable right. language again. And the natives come back. He's like, yo, dude, I don't know what the fuck those people are. But they're not ours. They're not yours either, obviously. And they're like, okay, let's go to the Gorilla Empire. They got the Gorilla Empire. Ooga booga la la la. And the gorillas are like, we don't know who the fuck those people are. So at the end of the day, the whole jungle comes together and they're like just looking at those people regressing more and more, and they're like, you know what, if we just don't mention it ever, like in history, right. Like, let's just say that, I don't know, you said there was this dude, right, who you rejected recently, like, this is the latest deal, this is the latest drama, just write in history, like, let the newspapers talk about him. Tell him that they sailed away, you know, lost at sea. All the newspapers will be talking about this. This is a problem I don't want to hear about. So they just leave them be and they just fucking die in the Amazon.
So they essentially just perform the cover-up.
Yes. And the local Amazon newspaper never reported this.
Right. The very well-known and widespread Amazon newspaper.
Yep.
Well, I guess they had a lot of trees back then to make paper from, so.
that's
so
true.
Why not? Well, Rudy, you got a different idea? Another one?
Well, it could be. Could be. And this is a stretch. But I recently saw how. Do you know how anacondas kill people?
They strangle them, no?
Yeah, right. But you've seen how big anacondas are, right?
They're sizable.
There are humongous creatures, snakes, right? And what they do is they sit on a tree, and they wait until something walks underneath it, like, let's mm-hmm. say a small deer or whatever they eat in the Amazon. They just fucking plop on it.
Wait, a deer in the Amazon?
I mean, that's a thing.
I don't think so.
Not the deer you imagine, but deer species exist in Amazon. I believe actually in Amazon, or maybe in Chile it was, somewhere in the South America exists the smallest deer species ever, which is the size of your palm.
Yeah, but Chile is not even close to the jungle anymore. I mean, okay, whatever, whatever.
I'm just saying that deers exist in Amazon, it's just not the species that you know of, not the ones with, like, big antlers.
I will refrain from commenting further.
Listen, Bambi is a deer too. Does he look like a deer?
Yes.
Those type exist in Amazon.
I will refrain from commenting further.
Watch a fucking documentary in your life! Watch David Attenborough!
I will refrain from commenting further. Let's continue with your theory.
Okay, so, yeah, what happened is a fucking boa, or whatever those snakes are called, plopped on him, concussed him, ate him. Swallowed whole. But he actually was a man of, you know, if you gotta give this to this man. A prick, nobody liked him, but he never gave up on his pride in a sense of, like, he always came back to be a shithead. So he was like, I'm not gonna die in this. So what happened is he basically got eaten by a snake, but he was still alive, so he just, within the snake, it was basically like a second skin. And what happened is like, now imagine a human, like, all everything's like snake colored, and throughout its mouth, there's just a face sticking out, and that's how he walked the rest of his days.
It's just a guy with a snake costume, essentially.
It's basically a onesie. That's the first idea. He patented it.
Well, what an inventive king.
I mean, at least something.
I guess. Well, Rudy, I have one last pitch.
Red brocket deer are thought to live for between 7 and 12 years. They serve as a keystone Amazon rainforest species by dispersing seeds across the forest floor. You can eat massive shit.
I will refrain from commenting further on this absolute bullshit that you're spreading, but it's fine. Shut up!
I can share you a picture. I can share you a picture.
Share your picture.
Okay. Copy image. Paste image. Anyone who wants to know. This is a deer that lives in Amazon. Please upload. Thank you very much.
That's a fucking rat.
You fucking idiot. That's a deer.
It looks like a rat to me. Anyway.
Henry's never... Now I want to see you go out in the wild, see an actual deer, and be like, that's a rat. Then see a rat and be like, look at the deer.
Oh my god, it fits in the palm of my hand. Listen, I know... shut up.
I found another...
You don't have to look this up. I'm not interested, okay? Don't. Stop. No.
I can't stop. They're very cute.
Listen, I'm going to edit your ass out if you talk about this anymore, alright? Just keep that in mind. This is not in the episode already. I can tell you that. It's already gone. This will just be a part of me talking to myself. Yes, I will. Everything that you're saying now is not in the episode. No. This is just all me talking to myself at this point, and I will leave it in the episode like that, and it will sound really weird.
You are a foul fucking creature, and I will comment under Spotify. In the comments, in the question section, I will tell everybody that you didn't believe that there are deer in Amazon.
Alright, I will... Alright, your track is back in now, Rudy. Welcome back. How you been in the last...
There's deer in Amazon!
Alright. I was going to say one more thing, but should we just head to the resolution?
No, say your thing. Nobody cares anyways.
My last idea is that, you know, they were sent away and they were quite upset about it. So they were like, how can we get back at these guys, even if we can't beat their colony, right? So what they did is they just set up around the colony, sneaky in the trees, and they just played minor pranks on them for the rest of their lives.
Fucking myth about bush people.
And then, like, for example, you're walking the colony and like a small stick falls on you and you're like, whoa, where did that come from? And it's just them throwing a stick on you from the tree. But never, like, really anything bad. It's just now, like, kind of minor shit.
Now you actually terrified me. Now imagine this. Like, same scenario. You walk down, just like, somewhat like of a night side or something, right? towards the evening, a stick falls, and you're like, oh, what the fuck? You look up at the tree, and there's just a fucking dude looking at you. Like, just, like, staring down at you. I would be scared shitless.
You describe it like that. Yeah, you're right.
Like, and then they had this whole urban legend about bush people who just fucking, like, you know, you don't mess with those people. Or maybe that's the origin story of Lorax.
I'm not familiar.
Well, Lorax, I think in the original story, is the spirit of trees. So he protects the trees from becoming down or whatnot. But in reality, mm-hmm. in this scenario, it probably is like, you know, this dude just went a bit crazy and was like, let's mess with them. And then in the forest, he started making noise and everybody's like, oh, what the fuck? We're scared. What's happening? And then he's like, I am Lorax. I speak for the trees. Tear down your fort or I'll break your fucking knees.
That's a good one. All right, Rudy, are you ready for the resolution?
Oh boy, I'm born ready.
There is nothing, like genuinely nothing.
Nice.
Nothing, like nada. So let's talk about the rock instead. So this rock that I found, it was a rock relevant to our boy, like I said. It's a rock off the coast of Costa Rica. And it has a real name. Like, this is a rock with an actual name already.
Tear down this rock.
It's not. You want to give it one more guess as to the real name?
Diego II.
And I think it's not related to him.
Oh. Español conquistador.
Imagine calling a rock that. Like, holy,
what a name. I don't know! You gave me no clues. What am I supposed to get from this?
Well, I've not... Like, yes, I gave you no clues, but that was one of the most disgusting guesses I've ever heard. It's fine, it's fine. It's not your fault. It's called Witch's Rock.
What?
But I don't know why.
What the fuck? You can't just drop a name like that and then be like, yeah, that's where we're gonna leave it.
Maybe because it's a little bit of a witchcraft that a rock is out there like that. I mean, it is a pretty special location.
Or there might be a witch living on or in it.
In it is probably more likely, yes.
It's a big, humongous rock. That's a fort by itself.
True. Maybe this is the withered remains of the fort.
thrown into the ocean by something.
I mean, it is a pretty cool rock. Like, it's, like, solidly in the ocean, but not too far, but, like, pretty separate. It's, like, pretty cool, I would say.
But every time you pass it, you just hear a faint... You like my witch laugh?
Yeah, it was a good.
I actually been practicing my evil laughs. I have one from like the spooky type from the 80s or 90s. Wait, let me.
Spooky.
that was the sound of my throat being cleared. So lola.
Right. That was a witch?
No, that was just like an evil laugh. Like,
I preferred your witch laugh.
Honestly, wait, maybe I can do it better when I'm standing. Like, wait. You have to get into the character. What's the thing that he sings in Lion King? Something, something. Manipulation. Who? Be prepared. Scar, the lion. Then he does that. He does some kind of thing like that.
I don't know. I'm not familiar with the source material. Thought you were gonna go with the Michael Jackson, like, at the end of Thriller, that laugh. Do you know? Do you know that one?
Hee.
Not quite. Alright, I'll just leave this one for the listeners that are familiar. That was what I was imagining.
Oh, I know what I'm gonna do. Now I'm just gonna keep doing this. But okay, goodbye, people. Episode, outro. Yo, let's go.
Right. Okay. Thank you for listening, everybody. We appreciate it. If you want to send us some feedback, send us a rock, or whatever else, you can contact
Please
us.
Please don't send
the
rock
Vagabond.
To our windows.
True. You can send an email at thevagabonddilemma@gmail.com. So thevagabonddilemma@gmail.com. Or you can give us some more personal feedback through Rudy.
So you come to my doorstep, and then you take out your phone, and there you open Instagram. That you type 0000RUDYS 0000. So 3 zeros, Rudy's 3 zeros.
And I'll open the door and I'm gonna be like, finally, come. Our fight will be legendary. And leave a good comment if you like. And you can also write feedback in form of comments on Spotify if you are a Spotify listener. Under every episode, there's a small question of what did you think of the episode. And leave your thoughts and prayers in there.
Right. And if you're an Apple listener, you can rate us 5 stars. Maybe. I don't know. I've never used Apple Podcasts. All right. Thank you for listening, everybody. Bye.
Goodbye.